I can't decide which is better or worse. What do you think?
Switch back.
Look at Dexter. Is that Dexter in the background? Oh my God, there's a Sasquatch in your house. What is that?
Wait. No, what you had before is better.
This one?
Yeah.
What's that big hairy thing in the background? Get a gun.
Okay. She said, don't be weird.
Oh, I'm having a good time myself this morning. Tell me straight. How are you feeling?
I'm all right today. I feel like yesterday I was just like tired all day. And I was just like, I don't know. It's weird because I've never been on a bike for that long. Like, with contacts, we're on the bike for 125 miles. And you just don't get the pounding of like running. Like, I've ran like 20 miles, whatever, done a bunch of high rocks races. And you just get super sore the next day. Biking, you just get like tired.
Yeah, dude. I actually, you know, I ran part of the LA marathon yesterday. Like, it wasn't that bad, but I got home from the LA marathon and I felt like I had taken like sleeping pills.
Yeah.
I had a really, really hard time.
How fast did you run? Like, who were you running with? And like, did you have to run fast or were they just kind of jogging it?
727 miles.
All right. That's pretty good. I could have done that. I just wouldn't have wanted to do that.
So here's literally, I'm going to refresh the week. And I'm going to show you. What the hell is this? Is this 2023? This is 2024. Where's our most recent week? Okay, so I'm going to show you something. This was my week. Share screen, entire screen. You like how scientific I'm getting, dude?
This is getting pretty good. Oh, you had like 10 screens open for a second there.
Yeah, I did. Can't be careful. Okay, so this is our ride. We started out 88 miles, 2,500 feet of climbing, just about starting up, you know, at the bike shop where we get Starbucks and all the way across. And then my watch turned off, and then we got these last 35 miles. I like how this is pretty crazy. This is my 35th birthday ride, and our second segment came out to 35 miles.
Good. Yeah. That's weird. I like how that first segment, I didn't even really notice that we were going up at all, but we still got over 2,000 feet of climb. And I guess when you're on the bike for that long, you just like, even like the tiniest little hills just add up.
I think it all started right here, just before Anaheim. Remember all those like little hills that we had to get? This was the hardest section by far, from Anaheim to that one long straight where we had all those stoplights.
That was so terrible. Just cars just whizzing by us. And we stopped probably every like minute.
Yeah. And this is the run I did yesterday. So I had to do this with these guys. And, you know, it wasn't that bad. But check this out. So this is last year. And I think I did the bike ride right here. Strava's such a dope app, dude. It's by far the coolest thing. Okay, this is the birthday ride I did last year. 85 miles, 9,000 feet of climbing in 6 hours. But it didn't have all of that stop and go BS.
Yeah.
Oh. Is
that one in Malibu? Oh no, this is the Cypress one, huh?
This is in Cypress. This is where I was supposed to ride with a bunch of strangers. I met them at this club right here. I was introduced by Lucas Storrath. And we were supposed to ride out over here. This is where Olympia is, Mount Olympus. And they're like, yes, we are going to the Olympus. And I was like, great. I'm so excited. And then they took me out here to the middle of fucking nowhere. And I was with just a bunch of German women in the end. The group got lost around here. So it was just me and a bunch of German old ladies all the way for the rest of this. And they were intense. They were like straight up mean little old German ladies. And they straight up like They beat me home.
Were they? They were going good on the downhill or what?
I got lost near the end, so they beat me home because of that. Like, I was ahead of them, but still, insane.
Well, what was your plan? You were trying to go to the top of Mount Olympus. How wasn't that going to be a much? Because that was already 85 miles. What was that ride supposed to be? Like over 100?
It was supposed to be over 100, and it was supposed to be over 10,000 feet of climbing.
Well, you almost got to 10,000, but it looks like you weren't even close to the top then.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know the best way of looking at like the topographical map of Cyprus, but like it doesn't get that tall. Like, I think it was going to get to 6,000 feet or something like that, and there was going to be snow at the top. And supposedly this is where the gods live. So I was like, it's my birthday. I should probably bike up to where the gods live. And I don't know. What's that?
What were you going to say?
You remember, like, every single year I do something like this. Like, a couple years ago, I took Kempson and my brother to the top of Haleakala.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like we should do that ride, but, like, hard with Jake.
Yeah. I think the next big ride I would really like to do, there's Mount Lemmon in Arizona. And there's also Mount Washington, which is the hill climb that everybody does. It's like the United States like hill climbing championships. Like, what do you think the hardest ride in the United States is?
What's the one up Pikes Peak?
That could be dope.
Isn't that, because that one you can bike the whole way up, and but I don't know where you start. You probably start at like 5,000-6,000 feet, right? Because you're in Colorado already, and then it's just a big climb. That could be cool. I don't know. I really like that you went up Haleakala. I feel like that's just like a really good one because it's still 10,000 feet and you're starting at zero.
Okay. I think Parker just joined in. You know that I should get a grant for employing people with special needs. It's why we get a huge tax write-off in our company, because I've got people like Alex, he's an albino, and I've got Parker. Him and Dexter have similar IQs.
Where is
that? I never actually, I checked the email. Actually, it never showed up.
You're such a dick. Yeah. Nuno just went to the Altitude Center in London. This is something totally off topic, but that's part of our next YouTube episodes. I've been having conversations with the Altitude Training Center in London to help me get ready for world championships using altitude training. They built me a whole protocol. I'm pretty pumped.
Pretty dope.
Yeah. Parker, I don't think we met. I've seen you on this podcast though a bunch. What's up, man?
Pleasure to meet you, man.
So yeah, I'll introduce you to
you're the bike guy. Yep.
Parker and I used to model together. We never did a job together, but we were always like one degree of separation. So we've known each other of each other for shit 12 plus years.
Mutual friends and everything.
Yeah, you're good friends with Szymanski.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Szymanski was one of my first guys. It's so pretty. Damn it.
He's so pretty.
damn. So we've known each other forever, and then we started kind of passing. We really linked up in 2021. That's where we first started hanging out in Dallas for High Rocks. Cole Daddy has basically been my roommate, soulmate, since 2018 was the first time we lived together.
Yeah, I think so.
We've known each other since what?
It's crazy to think that's 6 years ago already.
I know, dude. It's fucked up. But you know what's even crazier? That means that you've been with Abby for 6 years.
Yeah, like 5 years.
Yeah, plus or minus. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. Time has flown by so much.
Dude, you're 35, man. When I met you, you were like 27. You were like my age, I feel like, when I met you. That's kind of crazy. I met you like 7 years ago. And I'm 28 now. And you were like 28. Yeah, and you were 20. you were 28 when I met you. That's kind of crazy. Because remember how you always said you're like, oh, Hobie, I'm as old as like Hobie was when I met him or something like that. But now
Hobie was 32 when I met him.
Yeah.
So now I'm around his age. But dude, it was so crazy. Cole and I were living in a house where I lived in a bedroom where I could touch all four walls from the center of my room, and I was the only person with a toilet, and I called it the poop closet because it was so tiny. Like, it literally, like, you could sit down on the toilet, and if you spread your knees wide at all, to take you a dump. You hit the walls. You just like this.
Oh, those are the worst.
You could wash your hands while taking a poop. Like it was.
I've totally been in those. And then, yeah.
You still have that in the cabin. Your bathroom that I didn't know you had for the longest time. I thought we all shared one bathroom when I'd come up and visit you. But you had like a secret bathroom in your room. And I just didn't realize because it was so tiny in the corner.
Dude, poop closet. My poop closet in the cabin is not to be touched by anybody.
I was going to say, man, like that's a – if you have your own little nook, it's like a fortress of solitude.
I have no sanity at the cabin because it's just filled with guys all the time and it's pure chaos. And it's usually Cole and George and then there's Alex there and Alex just leaves his underwear everywhere. Dylan lives on the couch even though he has his own bedroom. It's exhausting. All right, I want to really get into the weeds on this ride. So people, we had our 35th birthday ride where we rode all the way from what I call mountain to mountain. So I came up with this ride ever since I basically got the cabin. I was like, dude, I got to bike from house to house one of these days. So I'll be honest, we didn't bike exactly from house to house. We drove down the mountain because we left early in the morning enough that it was a risk to go down the mountain in the dark. I have to do the whole thing, but it really isn't that much of a ride, just riding your bicycle down a hill. So I didn't count it. Then we decided, I'll just share the map again. We decided to bike all the way from Riverside all the way to, let's see here, all the way to, what is it? Redondo we started in, and then from Redondo we biked the beach all the way to Malibu. I'm going to share this screen. We're going to break this thing down piece by piece, and we're going to interview Cole.
Yeah, I still count it that we did the whole thing, because that initial part, Alex actually wanted to do it, where he wanted to get up earlier and just bike down the hill, but we're like, dude, I don't think it's a good idea, because it was like 30 degrees, there could be ice on the road, and people just drive like crazy on that road, especially at night. If you're just the only car on that road, you're just going
to
be
Sounds dangerous. Sometimes you just got to chalk it up to like, this is not worth the possible.
Mm-hmm.
So my house is technically right where this little mitten is in Cedar Pines, and all you had to do is basically ride 2 miles to the top and then ride, I think, 15 miles down this canyon to where we stopped at Starbucks. Now, the thing that was the craziest part about the ride was from probably here all the way to here was bike path. It was all this super beautiful, mind-blowing bike path. I mean, awesome. I've been living in Southern California for almost 15 years. I've never seen a bike path like this. And it's like in the middle of nowhere. I don't know why they invested all this money, but it's the most beautiful ride. And the entire way, there's just like homeless shelters, like these crazy tree forts that they've made. And like, there's just creepy ass people out there, like zombies. And they're the only people that really get to own and enjoy this level of beauty out there. Like, you don't even know, it's in the complete middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I feel like we got pretty lucky too, because the only like mapping we did on this ride was we just went on Google Maps and put in point A to point B, but we didn't like, I feel like there has to be like an app or something out there that like we just put it on bike instructions, but I feel like there has to be an app that like puts you on bike paths more, because we kept getting off the bike path, going on roads for like 2 miles, and then they'd put us right back on the bike path. And I'm like, this sucks. We're like spending all this time going on like regular roads, when we should have just stayed on the bike path, and maybe it was a little bit longer, but it would have been way more enjoyable.
There are some apps that have things like that. And also on the iPhone, if you have if you put in your directions and you click bike instead of car, registered in the map, then you're good. Then it'll show you those. If they're updated on the actual map, it'll take you through those if you put bike.
Yeah.
It's still screwed with us a fair amount though. I think the only thing that I'm really excited about is it took us through a town called Norco. And Norco
sounds like
is
a cool town anyway.
How'd you feel about Norco, Cole?
Is that Ponytown?
Yes, it's yeah. Hot Boy Pony Town.
Yeah, it's all terrible.
You didn't like Norco?
It's pretty good. That's but Alex got a flat tire in Norco.
He did. Honestly, we saved Alex. We're able to save Alex in a position where he never would have been able to save himself. And we ended up spending a little bit of quality town, what I like to call Hot Boy Pony Town. So look at this little town right here. Oh, shit. This is Norco, and it's a pony town. And if you look That's right awesome. Here, is Norco, California, a good place to live? It's very safe, except for if you're riding a bicycle. Yeah, like if you can see this little image right here, it's got ponies everywhere. Like, this is it. That's exactly Hell what I yeah. felt like. That's what I looked like riding through there on my bicycle. There's Cole, clearly the more unattractive chick. But this is exactly what Norco looked like. And I'm not going to lie. Look at all these things you have. Astronomy night, Day of the Dead, Day of the Cowboy, Easter
That's
egg
awesome,
hunt.
Dude, I want to go.
Cole, are you still going with me to Beach Fest?
Is that the one where you saw a flyer for it? Yeah. And I thought you were actually wanting me to go to something.
Yeah.
You just randomly saw a flyer on a lamppost or something.
Yeah. So after we get through Norco, Norco is probably the last place that we saw that was like really pretty. And now all of a sudden you're just going through this like aimless inland empire. There is endless, just, I don't even know what these people are doing here. Like, we are in what, Lake Forest? There's just cities upon cities upon cities of strip malls upon strip malls. Some of them were pretty nice strip malls. I was pretty jealous. Like, we saw a trampoline park next to Ross Dress for Less, and then it was like Wingstop all in one building.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Wait, but before that, when Alex got the flat tire, I was pretty like afraid that was not gonna hold because there was a thorn like in his like tire, and then we didn't like so we like took the tube out, put a new tube in, and then we realized there's just a thorn going through his like tire. So we're like, oh, this is just gonna pop again. So I just kept like watching his tire, and it like never like.
Did you pull the thorn out?
No, we didn't. Hunter started like trying to like suck it out at one point.
I licked Alex's tire.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, y'all, you know what you need to get for those rides, whether you're tubeless or not, get a Dyna plug. You know, like how you have plugs for your actual car?
Yeah.
Tires. It's the same thing for the bike. So okay, and if you catch like a sidewall or a hole big enough to where the gap is strong enough to where it'll still rub or just, you know, compromise the tire itself. If you plug it with a Dyna plug, shit's awesome. And then you can still pop a tube in it if you don't have sealant. So
yeah, we needed something like that because then I was like worried because I was like I'd only brought in one. Hunter had gotten two tubes for Alex's bike, but I only brought in one of them because I wanted to conserve space. And Hunter got like mad that I only brought one.
An aimless amount of weight that he prevented himself from carrying. Like he got more candy bars, and he's like candy tubes. He just throws away the tube, puts more candy in his bag. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
But this is so early in the ride that I was worried. I'm like, oh no, if this like pops on him, there was no bike shops open because this is still like 5:30, 6 a.m. I'm like, there's nothing going to be open until like 10 a.m. So we might have to leave Alex.
We'd have to leave Alex. Alex just never leaves Norco. That'd be a perfect town for him. What the hell was I just going to ask you? We were talking about Norco, Hot Boy Pony Town.
Amusement parks, and then we continued on.
No, there was something about Hot Boy Pony Town and Alex.
Oh, when he got
the... Alex, just in general, riding his bicycle, he didn't wear a helmet, which we don't always wear helmets. But, dude, he honestly was the sketchiest rider I've ever seen. He ran over his foot at one point. Like, I don't even know how that's possible, but his foot got underneath his tire and he ran it over. He would also come into all the curves and lift one of his feet off and use it as like a counterbalance so he could get the turn tighter. And do you remember that one point where he went through the mud puddles before us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that to me was like, dude, you're going to flip over the handlebars.
Yeah, and this is on the bike path. I was worried. I was like, I bet we're going to get on some roads and you're going to be like next to cars and I don't want you doing this. But he got better as it went on.
Yeah. I don't know how he fucking survives. Like, Alex wasn't prepping for this at all. Like, I was asking Cole for a while to be a part of this. I asked Alex the night before to jump in.
He's a freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I really don't think there's, like, many people like Alex that can just, like, jump in and, like, not fall apart like that.
No, he is the – there's somewhere just looking at him. If you took him back to the Viking days, he'd be that dude where it's like, I don't know how he always survives and prevails in battle, but he always comes back with, like, an arrow in his chest, and he's like, oh, then he just goes out and does it again. It's like he heals overnight, like –
He's just the redhead guy in Braveheart. He just never dies. He's always survives to the next battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely Alex.
Can't kill him.
Like, Alex doesn't have this, like, incredible physique. He doesn't have any of these, like, wow factors. I know, but he always seemed... The first time I ever met, like, brought him out to California, Ryan and Dylan were there. And Ryan and Dylan train all the time. Like, they are part of the company. They work out all the time. He smoked both of them. And he's been kind of doing that to people ever since.
Can you imagine if he actually followed a program? Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'll never forget. In 2018, we went to the Titan Games to go watch Chris Kerglowski. And these guys are the Titans. Like, these are, like, supposed to be some of the fittest people in the United States. They're here for the show. They're all jacked up, muscle dudes in, like, their special tight outfits. They get to this section where they're supposed to, like, hit something, and then, like, something falls down, swings, and bashes a door open. But they have to hit it pretty hard. They have to, like, break it so that it comes loose and then hit the switch so it goes. First round of guys can't do it. Second round of guys can't do it. Now the producers are starting to get really pissed because there's a live crowd filming and, you know, things are looking messy. And then the guy who's, like, the obstacle builder comes over and just hits it twice and the thing completely opens up. And he just looks at the guys. He's like, why are you such pussies? And that's an Alex move. Like, that's an Alex move where he's the guy on set that's not even supposed to be competing. He built the stuff for the guys to compete and just smokes them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, we should get Alex in, even though it's not Viking. But you know the old, like, Scottish games where they're in kilts and they do all the old school stuff like stone throws and all that? I could totally see him doing something like that.
It's Highland games, dude.
Yeah, weren't you going to do that, Hunter? Can anyone do that, or do you have to get like, accepted into it?
Anybody can do it, but you can't, like, get to the top level of competition. They have, like, their own version of Elite 15.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead. Sorry. My bad.
I used to go watch them when I was younger. Our grandfather would take us to Highland Games every year. And
that's badass.
They're huge. Like, they're my height plus 4 inches. And they probably outweigh me by another 100 to 150 pounds.
Yeah, they're kind of like strongmen.
Oh, yeah. Most of them are, like, track and field athletes that are, like, shot putters, discus throwers, things like that. And now they've just transitioned and they're thick.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, I feel like when I've seen, like, clips, it's a lot of, like, throwing stuff. So if you're a shot putter or something like that, I feel like that would help, and then you just pick up other skills.
Yeah. It also kind of reminds me of, like, those it's like the farm style where the guys, like, run with the pole, and then they run up it and then try to land, and they have
that's
the long
stick. That's so badass. It's like Polish. It's like Polish, like, stick jumping or something like that.
Yeah, those nuts are incredible. Like, it's pole vaulting, but then they climb the damn pole and then try to land on the other side of the water. Like, it's impressive.
Oh, dude. I'm not going to lie. Like, standing here in front of you guys right now, I feel, like, dizzy and tired. Like, I'm still a bit out of it. I went to bed last night. It was up by, like, 9:30. It was in bed by 4:30. Out of bed by 4:30. I'm still tired. Like, I got 8-9 hours of sleep the night before. I'm supposed to do my lactic threshold testing today.
Are you gonna do it today? Or are you gonna push it? What do you think?
I'll do some of it today. I might as well, because the real work that I'm doing is with Rich Diaz on Friday, and
cool.
We'll be doing VO2 max and probably lactate threshold testing.
Is he coming out or?
Yeah, he's flying out here.
Oh, sick.
He's being very vague about what he really wants to do. And I'm like, I'm like, all right.
He probably doesn't want you. I think what happens with a lot of people is they're like, oh, should I rest for this threshold test, you know, on Monday or Thursday? And I'm like, no, because we want to see where you are right now in the midst of all of that. If we rest you up and then you put up some banging ass score and then you need to repeat all of that, I'm like, it's going to be so far out of reach when you're super fatigued. I mean, you put up some good numbers, but if we're doing, you know, a basic threshold test in your training every 8 weeks or whatever, we can't give you a taper week all the time.
Yeah.
Like just for a threshold test.
Rich has never given me, every time I see Rich is like, hey, today we're going to do something that's so hard. I'm like, well, I'm not ready for that. And he goes, I don't care. Like it'd be that all the time. Rich never gave me like rest days or perfect formulas. He always would just give you the work and then you gave him a response.
Yeah.
Dude, have you seen this new thing? This guy right here, Ethan Penny, has just suggested about doing open water coastal rowing. It's a new event for the Olympic rowing in 2028. This is a sick sport. It's just a one-person rower, and you're rowing in the ocean.
Sick.
Yeah. But look at this guy that you have to compete against.
What kind of boat? Is it the same thing that you had last time? Or
No. This is like... This is like really, you're in a real rowboat.
So you wouldn't have to like get all that balance and all that. 'Cause that thing was so hard to use that the one that you did last time.
Fuck, dude. This guy's fucking up my day. Give me a second. I'm going to show you the guy who's actually winning this stuff.
How long is it though?
I don't know the distance, but I'll show you the guy who's winning and why I probably can't win. Dude, you're never going to believe this guy's times. This is freaky. I've already DM'd him to ask him to come on the show, and I can't tell if he just can't speak English, but he never really answers me properly. This guy right here is called Rowing Finn.
Oh, dude, this dude.
Oh, yeah. Freak. I've seen this guy. Yeah.
Dude, he rowed a 100,000 meters in a 149 pace. That doesn't even show. Is this the one? Dude, he does a 218 marathon row. He held a 138 for 2 hours and 18 minutes.
That is crazy.
That is so insane. To give you guys context, I'm rowing at maybe my best, a 138 at the start of High Rocks. And then I'm getting down to like a 142 to a 145. This is insane. He's averaging a 635, 2000 for a whole marathon.
But what country is this guy from? He just doesn't. Does he not speak English?
Look at the size of this gigantic Chinaman. That's terrifying. That's what they're making in China. What are you saying?
Wait, do you know what country this guy's from? And like, he doesn't speak English?
I think he's from Finland.
Okay.
Like, you can see I'm commenting on his stuff. I'm DMing him. I'm like, send me nudes. Like, anything. I'm just like, I'm so impressed by him.
Oh my god, like a nude photo, but it's the rower's upright and it's just blocking the goods.
Yeah. So this is him in a rower right now. I gotta see.
What is that one of his back, dude?
Yeah, no, his back is insane. The dude is a tank.
Say, look at that.
It's just a meat slab. And look at this, just like that's the size of my leg.
Yeah, he's a freak.
That's like, the size of my leg.
He's looking like he's getting ready for a bodybuilding competition. Like if he goes out and like does the lat pose.
He's a doctor too. You see that?
So this is the guy that we interviewed, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Jason? Looks like him.
It looks like him. I think that's him.
Yeah. And this guy is obviously on their shoulders because he's the champion. Like,
dude, look at his quads next to Jason's head.
Yeah, he just eats eats people up. Look at this. Look at that quad right there. Oh, look at this whole arm section. I don't know if that's his vein or if that's the cutout of the shirt.
No, that's just his delt striations.
This is a scary man. So I think that what you're seeing in this picture right here is that open water rowing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a freaking tank. Yeah. Look at this. 23 weeks ago, he was getting 129 likes. Now everybody's starting to pay attention, and he's getting thousands of likes. You know, where's the one where he does the world record? Yeah, 2600.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he popped up recently on like on my feed, and I was like, what? I started like looking at some of these times. I'm like, this is crazy.
I just don't know how. That's insane. I would love to be doing this. I want to get back
water ski behind his you can water ski behind his skull.
I know, dude.
Like when he's on the water, just like like get a tube and go tubing behind him.
Where is this? Let's look up, see if we can find Eric Murray. Eric Murray. This guy. This guy is the guy that we interviewed, and he held the record for the hour on the rower. And he is such a tank. Let's see if we can find that video.
And what I love most about him is if you never knew he was a rower and like this world-class athlete and he didn't talk about it, he's just a regular dude that you think just.
Look at the size of the difference in his face, though, when he was rowing back then. You can tell how much leaner he was in comparison. Like, you see that gauntness to his face?
Yeah.
And now, if you look at him, the dude's transformed. Like, that's him back when he was rowing currently. Look at the size of the difference of his face.
And I bet really, you he'd still out-row.
Yeah. I guarantee it, dude. I guarantee he could just get on the rower and just rip us in half. I would love to do that sport so bad, but there are Vikings out there, like I just showed you, that will make me look like an idiot.
I mean, this dude is holding what people would love to hold in a Hyrox for over 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so insane. I love Bill Kazmaier. Bill Kazmaier is one of my greatest inspirations. So, Cole, I did have some questions for you. What happened to the GoRuck games?
In general?
No, what happened to the GoRuck, not the GoRuck games, the GoRuck division?
Oh, at Hyrox?
Yeah.
I wasn't that prepared for it. And for context, the GoRuck division was the Hyrox in Washington, D.C., where you run a Hyrox. It's open weight, but you wear a 20-pound weight vest. And I just went out, like, I don't know, pretty, like, conservative and was hoping people would just, like, fall apart. And the sleds were, like, pretty easy. Like, they didn't take that much time. And then by the time I got into like burpee broad jumps, I was already pretty far back off the front of the pack. But my only goal was to beat Michael Maraglia. Had a $300 bet with him. And he dropped out two stations in. So easy.
So was it the fact that you weren't fit or the field was just super fit?
I wasn't fit. So, like, when I was actually getting ready for Hyrox, when I, like, went and did, like, top 15, when I did, like, elite 15 back in 2022, which was the last time I had done a Hyrox, I was running probably 40 miles a week every week. I was hitting, like, 4 mile, like, tempo runs where I could average, like, 5:45 mile pace. Like, I was in good shape. Now, I think, going into that, I would have been around like 6:20 pace for like 4 miles. So I like was not in the right shape, but I was hoping like the weight vest would like just throw people off. And it didn't really. It got like pretty hard, but the weights just weren't that heavy. And then even the wall balls, I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. But I still like, I took a ton of breaks and I still got it done in like 4:30.
Huh. So do you think Cole Daddy 2021? Could have gotten this done. 2022, Vegas, Cole Daddy.
I wouldn't have won. No, I couldn't have beat. I couldn't have beat either Jarrett or Dylan. But I think I could have gotten third.
Really, these guys are that well ahead of you right now.
Jarrett, yeah. Well, Dylan, you know, he's doing really good right now, and he had just gotten off of like a big race, and he still was running really fast. I don't know, with this, it was just like, dude, they were still running fast. And Jarrett, Jarrett is insanely fast with the weight vest. Like, it doesn't even affect him at all. Like, he just did, I was telling you, he just did that half marathon with a 100-pound backpack, and he ran 805 mile pace, which is like crazy. Yeah, 100 pounds, insane. So like a 20-pound weight vest, it doesn't affect him. Like, he's so good at running with weight. So
that's, I knew, crazy. He would crush it. So like, one of my best friends, he's a retired SF, and when he went into selection and everything, he was 6'4". And because they do so much load bearing on their spine, he's 6'3" now.
Oh wow. Dude, I was 6'2¼ before I got really into weightlifting. Like, I was 6'2¼ when I was 19 to 22. And then I got so into weightlifting, I'm down like 6'1". That's why I hang upside down all the time. No,
you're still 6'2". You're still the same height as I am. You're not shorter than me.
But I've shrunk. I've for sure shrunk. I know I have.
I could see like a half inch maybe, but you're definitely not under 6'2". Well, because you and I stand next to each other, and I think you're either eye to eye or maybe a little bit taller than me. So there's no way you're 6'1".
Whatever it may be, I'm shorter than I used to be. I can tell you that with 100%. So I went into one of these specialists, and they did this whole body exam thing for me. And they showed me, they're like, yeah, dude, you're 6'1¾". And I was like, what'd you fucking say? I was like, ready to punch this dude in the mouth. And he's like, yeah, man. And then he showed me this chart and showed how like contorted my body was, because they put lines through everything. And you could see where I was like crooked. And I was just mind blown. So I started hanging upside down with regularity, and it really helped me a lot.
I was going to say, you should do the, you know, Batman, Michael Keaton, where he hangs upside in the boots. Yeah. Or the old like chairs that you sit there and go upside down with. I used to have one of those chairs, and I remember I used to get on it, and the first I'd have to like go in intervals, like get further back and further back, because you feel your spine and your hips like trying to deload, like decompress. Mm-hmm. And at first you're like, dude, this shit hurts. And when I had that chair, I stretched back out, and then I would get taller like week by week, and then be able to sustain it. In New York years ago, I kept having problems with my hip. I had it hyperextended in high school in football. And I went to this, you know, a specialist place where they were doing all of this mobility and stretching for my hips and my back. And they took a height measurement when I started, and I was so compressed. I was 6'1½". And I was like, holy shit, I've shrunk. 2 weeks later, they measured me, and I was 6'2½".
Dude, look at this guy. Jim says right now that he started at 71 inches the year that he did all, a year of Murph, and he got down to 70 inches by the end of it. So 1.5 inches.
That's a lot.
But was the stretching brought you up how much?
I went up to an inch, but I stopped weightlifting. And then they go, once you start training again, you're going to shrink again. You're going to compress.
Because you push fully the fluid out of your spine. Yeah.
So, and then I went back to like 6'2 or whatever. But when I remember like the first few times when I left there, I was like, dude, I feel taller. And they measured me, and they were like, it's because you are. And I was like, holy shit.
Wait, is this from like squatting? Is this from loading everything on your spine?
It's just everything. Yeah. Really? If you're constantly loading the weight, whatever. Think about anything, even a deadlift. You're pulling. Yeah. When you're trying to drive up and this weight's trying to pull you down, like your spine is doing this.
Yeah, but I was trying to think, if you just did belt squats and like sled pulls, I feel like you wouldn't get this.
Sled pull, you're still going to, because think about when you come up, it's still trying to compress you like an accordion.
Yeah.
My buddy was telling me when he was in the SF, he was, you know, on teams with dudes that have been in for 15 years. And he's like, dude, one of the guys that was on my team is now 5'10". He was 6 foot when he came in, and he said he wore a 9.5 shoe, and now he wears like an 11.5. Just from so many years of just packing down, and his just foot just So all those dudes have back problems.
I'm glad that I didn't get into the military. Dude, check out this text that I just got.
What?
Hey, you can't show what I sent you. Oh.
You read that?
No, it's a little blurry.
Good morning, Hunter. I can't read it.
I'm having 60 foot of turf that weighs 700 pounds being delivered here right after this podcast.
Ooh. Is it for the grass or for sled stuff?
Well, so basically what I do is I just take the thing out and I measure everything perfectly just to make sure that I have like no questions in my mind of whether or not like, hey, Hunter, how fast are you doing things now? I'm like, well, I think this. I'm like, no, I know this.
Yeah.
And I have all the equipment here, like everything, like this whole Malibu house now is basically like the best training center in the world for high rocks. Like I have every piece of equipment.
You can't. Dude, really I want compete. Three pieces of equipment that you have: the treadmill, the Woodway, the Vitruvian, and the ski erg. That's all I want at my house. I want a ski erg. That is my main focus because before I swapped gyms, they had a ski erg, and I would swim two, maybe three times a week. And people are like, "How do you swim so fast with only swimming twice a week?" And I'm like, because I would ski erg two other days a week. And that
power.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm like, and then just go nail two swims a week and just ski erg. So I want to get one for my house so I can ski erg every day that I'm not swimming and just watch my shit go through the roof.
Yeah, dude, honestly, I would just like do dumbbell bodybuilding and ski erg for the rest of my life and mountain bike, and I would be literally the most jacked dude you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's impressive. Like
if I do ski erg intervals a lot, dude, my abs grow.
Yeah.
Just grow. They literally
it's so much.
Blast out. The only other thing that I know that does abs as well is atomic push-ups. Like you can change your entire anterior chain from doing that, and then it's your job to do lifting to build your posterior chain. But like,
you know what's really underrated is the ab wheel.
I like the ab wheel, but ab wheel for me is good, much better at holding tension. As far as contraction, nothing competes with the TRX push-up, at least for me.
Yeah.
Like I just get really – do them slow too. Just like really down like one, two, three, up, two, three. And every single muscle fiber in your body. You remember when we were living together at the house? You weren't there when we were doing it during COVID, but I would always just do TRX push-ups.
Yeah, didn't you have a challenge where you were just like, I'm going to do 500 or something? Did you do that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And you should in the video. I mean, I can go back and find this video. You let's see here.
Yeah.
It's funny. Would you it's do, like the 10 to 10? Time under tension. Stephen Hunter, one of our one-to-one athletes. He came down to Houston and he's strong as shit. Like he's got a solid bench press, everything. And he's like, dude, every time you have me do any type of time based pushup, he's like, I just, all of a sudden I just can't do anything.
Yeah. It's
because you're just trying to rep out as many as you can in whatever time frame I give him. And he's like, dude, I just die.
Dude, this literally the pinnacle version of Hunter. I'm about to show you guys something that it's hard. It's hard to look at this man and feel manly.
What is this, Beefcake Hunter from last year?
I had just quit CrossFit and I ended up doing Murph. Look at that.
Oh, I remember this whole thing.
Your woman walked near me, dude. She was a trouble, dude. The magnetic
man, dude. You look like a WWF, like before it went WWE. That's a WWF character.
Look at that. Look at that porno flow. Not much you could do with that. But I would do these atomic push-ups, and I got so fucking buff. Look at the size of my pecs. You can see. Do you see all the veins coming out of my stomach and all across my shoulder and everything?
Dude, we need to get you into like the perfect, like shiny briefs and the tall wrestling boots and get you out on the ring.
Dude, am I not? if yes, one to one with Kerry yes. Von Erich, dude. I mean, come on, yes. Look, Kerry Von Erich, boom, Conor McIntyre, same thing, same thing.
Yeah, minus like 30 pounds.
No,
yeah.
No. He's smaller than me, dude, for sure. Yeah, dude. I think you guys are jealous. I mean, come on. That's the same exact body. That's the same body. You that guys are jealous. This is all hell. I didn't know you guys. I didn't know my friends were so jealous.
I'm supportively jealous.
Yeah, you guys are fucking jealous as all hell. So, Cole, what would you say is the biggest difference between when you were racing in High Rocks at an elite level compared to now?
The sleds are much easier.
That's very true.
Like, dude, when I started, our Parker, I don't even, you probably weren't in High Rocks because I know you were just in High Rocks.
Dude, this
right?
just past can. Weekend when I hit the sled with Amani, I was like, what the? It was so, dude, I drove it straight across and I was like, what was that?
Were they the Century ones?
Yeah.
The new company?
A
yeah.
Center or whatever. Center.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
could
yeah,
definitely yeah. feel that there was less grip. It yeah. was not nearly like usually you're like, it feels like you got to get past this hold on it. And I just grabbed it and I was like, holy shit. I was like, dude, this is.
Yeah. So it's like basically it's gone in like two phases. So basically High Rocks came to the US and take the sled push first because that's the first before the sled pull. Like that station was taking people minimum 3 minutes was like super fast. Most people were taking upwards about 4 minutes. And you were like, even on the first push out, you were braking twice, three times. Now people are doing that in one go. You couldn't really do that in the beginning unless you just wanted to destroy your race.
Yeah.
Because it was so heavy and it just wouldn't move. And then it feels like this year, they were like, hey, we're going to standardize this, make it the same as Europe. And all the times went down to like 230, you know? And then now we got the new sleds and I feel like the times are going to be down to like 2 minutes. So it went from, it cut it in half. And the amount of damage that I did to people's legs is so different. Like what I was good at, it was I'm strong. So I was like, I was able to hit that like at a pretty good rate, then get back into running because it didn't damage me as much as these other guys.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the sled pull. In the beginning, we were doing 25 meter. It was just out and back. Like the rope was so long. So it's going to be, you know, so much harder. And now, and now we got the new sleds, and I think those are going to drag a little bit quicker. So, yeah, really just, like, I was able to do pretty well in the beginning of the race, and then I was just, like, was able to just kind of just hold it throughout. And I think my fastest, I averaged, like, a 6.05 mile pace average for the whole thing. And, yeah, but, like, now I think it's just too fast for me. Like, I'm just not fast enough on the running to keep up.
Yeah, because it definitely benefits those guys. Like, my local gym has an outside area with turf. And I will load not even 300 pounds on that sled. And it feels harder to push than the sleds now at the venue.
Yeah.
And it is significantly less weight.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. And like Hunter's still like crushing it, but people don't, and then people are like, oh, Hunter's really strong and he's crushing it. But like also Hunter can run like low 5 minute miles, like consistently. Yeah. And there's not many people that can like do that. So it's like, he's running just as fast as the fast runners, the Dylan Scotts, the Rich Ryan, like these guys.
I will say it's nice not having this pole right smack in your face though.
Yeah. Does it not have that
set up? No, it's not as bad. Like when you grip on it, I've got these long ass arms. So I just drive my shoulders into the poles and then like my hands are all the way at the bottom. And I just push, but you're not like this weird cant. Like your face is dead on now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the only nice thing is you're like, oh, this is actually kind of comfy.
Yeah.
So you said sleds. What's the other thing?
It's just sleds. But the sleds are going to make the rest of it like so much. If you're a fast runner and the sleds aren't beating you up, you're just going to be able to, the rest of the race, you're just going to be able to make it through. While people were getting destroyed early on in this thing by the sleds and because they were so heavy. And then the rest of the race, they were just destroyed and I would be able to pass people and do well. And now it's just gotten so fast that I was like, I'm not as interested because it's turning more into running and less into like the 50-50 combo that I originally thought this sport was.
We were just talking about that last week.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, I started at 60, then I went to, I broke 60, then I went 58, then I went 57, then I was like in the 58s for a while. And then all of a sudden I dropped a bunch of weight and got 56. But that was still the same sleds. We were in Dallas, and that's the time I raced with you, Cole. So I had like kind of a minute and a half drop off for my best time. And then all of a sudden you could tell the sledge changed, and I came back the next year and did 55.07. I did a 54. And then I did a 54. Then I did a 53. And like, I know I'm getting better at everything. Like, I'm probably taking about 10 seconds off of most stations, but my skier hasn't gotten any faster. It's like maybe a second or two faster.
But you hardly focus on that.
No, I know, but like,
my wall overall balls fitness. And Sierg, you
don't touch.
Crazy enough, you're really good at them with surprisingly how little you put emphasis on those.
It's just muscle memory, and I'm just trying to get fitness elsewhere. But
yeah,
I wouldn't say like I'm that much faster at Farmer's Carry. It's probably 1-to-1. Lunges I'm a little bit faster on. Wall balls I'm maybe like 10 seconds faster on. Like, it's not the kind of jumps that I've been having. The change of the sleds has allowed me to push further and harder on the back end of the race for sure. And I'm faster on the sleds in general. And I sat down with them and I said, listen, you guys are going to have to change the weight back. You're going to have to add weight on to bring it back to what it was. Otherwise, it's going to change a ton.
Even if they just do an extra plate onto the men's.
Yeah, do 25 kilos each person's sled should change it. And like, you know what? That's just because the sport's progressing. We've changed material. Like, they do it in sports. Like in javelin, they had to change the weights and they had to change the way that it was shaped. Like, you just do that stuff in sports. Yeah. Ends up being that. So I don't know. We'll see. If they put the sleds back, would you come back, or are you still like on a different path?
No, I'd probably come back if they made it like much heavier, then yeah, I'd definitely come back, because then I'd be able to like probably compete pretty well in it. But now there's just a couple other opportunities. Like, we got Battle Bunker qualifiers coming up in 2 weeks. So focused on that. But yeah, I'll probably jump into High Rocks Anaheim in a couple months. But yeah, I'm not going to like really focus on it, I don't think.
If you could suck it up, dude, and just come do some speed work with me and get your times back down, I think you could be a really lethal person. Like, if you're right now, you're thick, dude. This is the thickest I've ever seen you. Your like quads are very big. Your calves are very big. If you could work yourself back down.
You're starting to get the Arnold jaw, bro.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what I want.
If you could get yourself back down to like 185, 182 in 8 weeks and just get your running up, you could probably come top 10, if not top 5 in that event. Top 5 will qualify you.
No. What you're talking about Anaheim? No, yes. You got to get top 2. Only 2 people qualify.
Yeah, but the people that are racing in the wave may have already qualified. I don't really know how it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, like,
I lied to.
They're saying that. I can't promise, but I think you could be in a competitive enough position to be a contender. That's all I'm going to say.
I think I could. I think I could be a contender, but it would have to, I think things would have to align a little bit because people are so focused on this now. But no, I think you're right.
What do you think is going to happen at Battle Butt?
In 2 weeks at the qualifier?
Yeah, Hypercon Games. What are you going to do?
Well, who do you know who's, I'm guessing Phil is going to be there. Phil won last year.
Phil will be there. You got Dylan Dorn.
Got Dylan Dorn. We got Alex maybe doing the women's weight.
Well, Alex and the women's weight. You're probably gonna have Big Grant there. You're probably gonna have. I bet you, people like Caleb might show up. I heard you destroyed Caleb this weekend. Can we talk about how Caleb took 10 minutes to do the burpees?
Yes, let's talk about this.
Yes, let's talk about this because Caleb Yates has been talking up a big game about how fit he's going to be and how he's going to make it starvation this year and how he's going to win Battle Bunker. Tell us about how Caleb Yates took 10 minutes to do burpee draw jump and then dropped out. Tell us. I don't know what you want. Like, what information do you have? Are you not going to share it?
Is he not sharing?
No, you're not going to share. This is you. You're the one who's at the race.
Wait, can he hear you?
No, I'm sorry. I'm having a total brain fart. This is how tired I am. It was Kyle that I was talking to that was racing against Caleb. I don't know why I thought you and Caleb raced together this weekend, even though you were with me. This is how foggy my brain is. I'm sorry, guys. Now I look.
Yeah, Kyle and Caleb were in the go route category this weekend.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you guys anecdotally that Caleb, I was told by Kyle that Caleb and him were racing against each other, and Kyle passed Caleb, and then all of a sudden had to do a station like twice as long, and then passed Caleb again. Then they got to the burpee broad jumps. It supposedly took Caleb 10 minutes to do the burpee broad jumps, and then he dropped out of the race. Now,
with the best.
This is our version of like High Rocks TMZ. I want to get the inside scoop from Caleb what happened, because I called him multiple times and he has not picked up.
I just checked and it took me 3 minutes and 22 seconds to do the broad jumps with the vest. So it took him three times as long.
I'm going to text Caleb right now and say, boys want to know what happened.
Wait, so what event did you do, Parker? Did you do doubles?
I did it with a client of mine, Amani. Okay. So she came in, we did the mixed doubles, and then she actually did the run portion from her very first High Rocks that she did solo. She did all of the run portions in twice as fast.
Nice.
She's made a huge improvement. She's made a lot of fitness gains. She absolutely crushed. We did it in 2 hours, 11 minutes. And her very first High Rocks ever, it took her about 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we had a good time. I put up a video I edited, and I brought my phone with me the entire race to try to document as much as I can. So every time that we would switch, I'd hand her my phone, and she was like, I'm going to start every station so then I can give it to you and I can rest before we start hitting the run. And I give her the sandbag and she goes, oh, nope, mama's hip went. It's all you. And then so I start lunging and it's on video. She goes, he don't know, but he's doing these lunges by himself. And you can hear it on the video.
Yeah.
And so I just start marching down. And I'm marching like I'm not going to have a break, because I'm like, oh, well, I'll hit down and then she'll come back. And she's like, nope, keep going. I was like, okay.
Was there a lot of people? Was it like packed?
Yeah, it was packed. Yeah, there was packed. I remember while we were on the run course, I kept yelling at people like, get out of the left lane. And I'm like, man, they should really. I'm sorry. Maybe people get mad at me. I think they need to start penalizing people for riding the left lane. If you are not running somewhere around a 6:30 or faster, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
And it's just dangerous, because you see some people flying and they're shoulder checking people, and people are, you know, and they're just not paying attention. I'm like, just get out of the way. Just move over. Like Amani and I were getting to the far right on the course just to properly make room for people.
Yeah, they need to start making like these edit videos of people just getting wrecked in High Rocks races. Because when I was in DC, I was running over somebody.
I blasted a woman. I shifted her spine. Her body looks like a twisty straw now.
That's all right. If we had all these videos, guys, that'd be awesome.
I saw somebody get just ransacked on their left side. They were like, oh, and then, and like they stayed on their feet. But I was like, man, that could have been bad.
Guys, Caleb's here, and he's
I mean, think about like some chick like Wombat, like coming through. She's going to hit you like a Mack truck.
Yeah. Hey, something I want to bring up for you guys. This is a cash opportunity, because Cole loves to get easy cash. You didn't participate in the last one that we did. You could have won easily. Actually, the guy who did it was a pretty freaking big beast. Yeah. But we have a once a month thing sponsored by House and Builder. It's $250 for first place, male and female. So last month was what we call the, I think it was called Hot Toddy. It was 1500 meter ski into max kettlebell clean and jerks for time. This week we have on Thursday coming up, you have a week to get it done. It's the kettlebell secret service test. Kempson would love this. So I'm going to send this to Kempson also, but
50 pounds or is it, what is it?
It's a 24 kilo kettlebell. So you're going to have to show the video and you're going to have to basically go, you basically can switch as many times as possible and you're just doing snatches like this.
Yeah. This is what we did at the Go Rut games last year.
How'd you do?
So they split us up into two heats of five, because there's 10 of us. And they were like, all right, all five of you go at one time. And I was like, and I went first and I was like, oh, this is probably going to be a pretty good strategy. I'll do three, drop it, go three on the other side. And I just kept it consistent the whole time. I got wrecked because I went way too slow.
Yeah, you got to rip, dude. I mean, look at this guy. Yeah. He won't stop. So just to give everybody a heads up, we have what we call the Beast Board test. And it's just something we did for the community, which is like strength endurance tests that I like a lot. They're usually going to be between 5 and maybe 20 minutes eventually. But what we want to do is basically put these tests out there and just give away some cash prizes from House and Builder. So the first one was this 10-minute test. Now this is another 10-minute test. All you guys got to do is basically tag House, Builder, and myself and tag us so that we can actually find your video. Please, we ran into this massive problem last time where everyone was like, why didn't you see my story I posted? I'm like, stories disappear, dum-dum. So you got to post an actual video, tag us, and you're just hitting as many as you can for 10 minutes. You can hit three on this side. You can drop it. You can hit three on this side. You can do Cole's formula, which sucks. Or you could just keep blasting it like a real He-Man. I think the best I ever got was about 260 or 280. I know that's a weird number, but you got to be repping out basically, 25 reps a minute. It's like every 2 seconds you're getting a rep done.
Yeah, that's really good. I think, ours was different because we had the Go Rock like sand bells. So they were 50 pounds, but it was like sand.
Kind of, and it had like shit.
It just had a horrible handle and just like destroying everyone's hands. Yeah. Like, everyone's hands are destroyed at the end of that thing.
And they don't slide. Like, you can't just like do that loose grip where it spins. Yeah.
No, I was wearing gloves and it still destroyed me. But I think the top time in that, obviously, it's different. I think Ryland actually went like 220. He looked like he had the worst form I've ever seen, but he was just ripping the thing. The guy just has a crazy engine.
Was he getting real good reps? Like real reps or just Go Ruck reps?
They were all right. I would count them. No, they were good. He had a lot of movement. I think he just hadn't really done any snatches, but the guy is just like has this huge engine. So he just like give him anything and he'll just like what it's kind of like Ryan Atkins.
Like, yeah, Ryan Atkins is still my favorite athlete I've ever competed against because he would just have like puppy dog form, like wobbling all over the place, but still dominating.
Yeah.
He's like, I've never done this, but I will still wreck you.
And that's what he did. And then Carly, I think, got like her weight was obviously less, but I think she was up there at like 260 or something. She was just crushing. I think she was doing like 20 and then switching. So
yeah,
she had a good strategy.
So guys, just to give you the heads up, check that. I'm going to share this thing. Check the House page, check the Builder page, check my page. If you guys want to get involved in this, as I said, you have to tag the video. We're going to say this again. You have to actually go into the Instagram, tag the video, whatever you want to do. Just make sure it's visible for us. And it's 24 kg for guys. It's 16 kgs for chicks. It's very simple. Be like, hey guys, here's my kettlebell. I'm going to step back. Here's a timer. 3, 2, 1, go. And just keep on going. And our judges will count it. You also want to try to put the score up there so we don't have to do this whole guess thing, but
yeah,
we will be counting it. We did last time, and this thing will get to the point where it's going to be so big that we're going to probably have to hire like specific staff for it. But I think like 30 people submitted their scores last time, and people like the guy who did the guy score was pretty freaking savage. He ended up beating my score by like 6 reps. That was painful. And I'm sure there's going to be some really, really good people. I hope Matt Kempson comes out of the dark because he's the kettlebell master. He's like basically like Mr. Miyagi.
You got to make sure people actually do a 24 kilo and don't just grab a 50 pound.
No, I know. It has to show that. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like we can't, like I've been doing online competitions forever. Like we're not letting people just skate by. But yeah, guys, it's a 24 kilo, 16 kilo kettlebell. Other than that, I think the only other thing I got really that's coming up is the Battle Bunker signups, guys. Like, if you want to come compete, Cole was on the podium last year. This year is going to be, I can't guarantee it, but this year I believe we're going to be able to set up a 3-day competition. It's going to be even more extensive and intense. So, like, this is like almost like summer camp. Like, it's very fun. You get to compete the whole time. You're at the Olympic Training Center. You're getting like the best meals, the best competitions, and probably one of the top places in the entire world you could ever be housed and compete. Like, I've traveled my entire life and they've never put me up like this. This is a cool experience. Cole can speak more to it, but
dude, it was awesome. And we found like these like cold plunges, like the big like metal ones, like in like their athlete facility that we could like recover in. Like, this place is amazing. Like, everyone should want to go there.
I wish I knew about it at a younger age. Cause I think about it. If you do the math on the rent, you can be at the Olympic Training Center and have your own room and all of the facilities and meals every single day. There's nowhere in the world, at least in Southern California, where you can do the math and it adds up. Like, it's a gym membership, it's meals and a place to live at a more affordable rate. And I'm not trying to sell you for that, but just it's crazy. Like, I would honestly live at this place and get rid of this place if I really got down to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to run my internet business on my laptop, sell all of my shit, and ride a bicycle. Like, that would be the cheapest way to run, compete right now. But yeah, basically, guys, you have to compete. The first weekend's coming up. If you want to actually compete with us, and I'll be running the entire event, it's going to be the last weekend of March at Invictus. Otherwise, there's going to be gyms all around the world for the whole month of April. They're putting this thing on. So go check it out. Go to hypercongames.com. Go to Battle Bunker. Go to my channel. Go to Austin's channel. There'll be information anywhere you want to go. Guys, I got to go.
Sounds good.
Cole,
see you guys.
I'm proud of you. Get in shape, dude. Like, I want to see you. Not only do I want to see you dominate the HyperCon games, I want to
race
see you,
shape. Not that you're not in shape.
Yeah.
No, but I want to see you in race shape. I want to see you win this kettlebell competition. That's an easy 250, right? And I'll let you come over to my house and take pictures for your Amazon stuff.
Thank you.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid. And then, right, other than that, dude, like, I want you to be in the Elite 15 again. I want you to come to France with me.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. But I got the other stuff.
Parker, I'm going to miss you. I'll call you. We got a lot of work to do, Parker. It's a busy week for us. And everybody at House that competed this weekend in Houston, congratulations. I just want to say that. Like, Parker's done a massive job at helping guide you guys. I'm really grateful. Everyone's done great. Amani, it's good to see you as usual. I'm out of here.
Speaking of Amani, so talk about an epic week. So she comes to Houston, knocks out the High Rocks. As soon as she's done, she heads straight back to the airport, and then she got to meet and introduce on base yesterday the first lady, because
really?
She's such a badass. They asked her to do it.
Big deal, Amani.
I know, right? Like, these are the type of people that are our people. Like, we're, I know, right? It's like, yeah, we coach people that, you know, just introduce the first lady. Like, come on.
Monty, you got to share that in the group, dude. How are we supposed to keep in touch with and seeing what you're doing? You got to share your success in the group so we can celebrate you, girl.
I know.
All right, guys, I got to end this and I got to get to work. I love y'all. Cole, right, thanks again for the ride, dude. That was the best birthday gift.
That was awesome.
Thanks, brother.
Later, bro.
Peace, bro.